you just tuned into the hippest way to start and grow your indie author career. Learn the ins, the outs, and all the all-arounds of self-publishing with the team from D2D and their industry-influencing guests. You're listening to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Self-Publishing Insiders. I'm Jim Azevedo, and I lead the marketing team here at Draft Digital, and today I'm super excited. I say that every week, but seriously, like, I'm really excited because joining us, we've got Lauren Lacey, who is the organizer behind the super successful Black Romance Book Fest. I can't believe I just almost stumbled over the name of the conference. Yeah,
for sure. That's the easiest way to say it.
Right. And my good friend and colleague, Megan Spann, joining us here, too.
Hello.
Hi, Megan.
I'm off flustered because we had some technical difficulties before signing on here, but here we are. We're good. Everyone just relax. Take a deep breath, Jim. All right. We are good. So, Lauren, if you don't mind, let me just read through your bio here real quickly so I can kind of get the lay of the land and let people know a little bit more about you, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So Lauren Lacey is a Southern storyteller from Savannah, Georgia, now residing in Atlanta. She crafts heartfelt romances filled with the complexities of love and resilience. Her writing, often set in small towns, explores the depths of commitment and second chances. Lauren has authored 7 novels, including the acclaimed Love in Beverly Mills series and her latest sports romance, The World Around Us. Outside of writing, she is a devoted mother of 3 children and a passionate Georgia Bulldogs fan. Her goal is to create stories that make readers laugh, cry, and believe in the beauty of happily ever afters. So again, welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so after going through your bio, you're pretty humble with that bio, because can I read a little bit about your about your professional background?
Yes. I am very low key, is what people say. I honestly just enjoy writing. I enjoy marketing.
I've
been in the marketing space for quite some time, at some pretty cool companies, and I'm currently a professional digital director here at a company out in Atlanta, and I was at PDIP. WC for quite some years as well. I started out on social media, and because when I was in college, everyone was like, well, what do you want to do? Because I majored in English, they thought I was going to be a teacher. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just wanted to do
it. What are you thinking? Oh my God.
I knew that I love writing and telling stories, you know, and so I got into social media. And from there, I got into my company. They sent me to learn graphic design and coding, and I started building websites, and then I got into SEO, and then it just kind of just continued in the digital marketing back in the day. It was like so new and exciting. And yeah. So, one day my husband and I, we took a vacation. I was like, I want to be like, you know, the people in the books, and they're going on vacations. So we left the kids at home and we decided to go to Disney World. I'm a Disney fan. And
there's plenty of those watching. Yeah. Yes.
And so I just sat there and I said, I want to do something that I always wanted to do. And I wanted to write just like the books that I read. You know, I love reading romance novels. And I just started writing. And it's just been up from there.
That's awesome. Because I was reading about like your bio and like your LinkedIn page. I'm like, oh my gosh, she doesn't even mention it in your bio, but you've got a BA and a master's in English and literature. You've got over a decade of experience in digital marketing, and that, you know, that industry moves like this. It's constantly changing. You didn't mention that you founded the Urban Business Directory, which served
started out as just like a small business directory, and we were helping Black and BIPOC owned businesses just like with their marketing. And it just grew to become a pretty large agency. And I'm just blessed.
You're like, oops.
Yeah, it happened in the span of like a year and a half. And I was like, whoa, that's like, this is a lot. And it was really, you know, Forbes, reached out and I was a part of their Next 1000 class for being, you know, for my business and at the time. And so we were just really fortunate to work with so many amazing businesses and help them grow. And that's just something I've always really been passionate about, is just like helping others and seeing them succeed in the digital space.
I like how you just casually mentioned that, like Forbes magazine reached out and they're like, hey.
I'm like, I'm really like, look.
Humble. So I wanted to talk about that stuff because just by reading your background and just learning more about you, even before we had a chance to talk, it's like, oh, this person is like the perfect person to launch this conference. So yeah. I'm so glad you're here. Let's jump into it. I'm so interested in hearing about your origin story and, you know, what inspired you to create the Black Romance Book Fest in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I am, I have always been like a creative where I have all these ideas, and I've been it to be surrounded by individuals who allow me to really just like do whatever I think. And so, you know, I have a really great team of like readers and people that I like form true bonds with on Bookstagram and Book Talk. And when I started writing, they were just in my DMs while they were reading my books. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and we just started talking back and forth. But I have really bad social anxiety when it comes to social media. And so I struggled to connect on there. And so I was like, let's take this offline. Like, let's become real life friends because I can talk much better and, you know, really connect with people. And so I formed this really great community of readers offline. And one day we were just talking and and I was like, you know, it would be really cool if we could have a book event. And I wanted it to be a space where we have indie authors, because indie authors and the indie, the self-publishing space is so powerful. To where now, you know, indie authors, they're hitting number one bestsellers. They're having mass followings. And, you know, let's bring them with all of the other, you know, traditional authors. Let's just have like a big fellowship. And so, you know, I didn't know how it would go, but my amazing team, they were like, okay, let's do it. Then me, I am very impulsive. I'm going to take that idea and run. That's what I do with everything. So a few weeks later, and this was April 2024, I said, hey, I just got an LLC for the book event, and we're going to go ahead and launch this page about the URLs, about the social media. They were like, yeah. So my social media manager, who's for my author brand, she was like, I guess I'm going to manage this event now. I said, yeah, let's just do a post and see how it works.
So your original vision was like just to create this fellowship, this little community of authors. All right.
500 people. That's what we said. It would only be 500 people in attendance.
Only.
Exactly. And
what happened?
Yeah. And she did the post, and it was just like so organic and just like natural about, you know, it attracting the audience, the readers, the authors, and they were excited about this. And it has really just been so overwhelming in the best way. So yeah, that's how it began.
So funny. So why did you feel at the time that there was like a dedicated space for Black romance is so important in today's publishing landscape?
Absolutely. There's a disparity in the representation, but there's an overabundance in the product and in quantity and like the amount of writers that we have, amazing stories, but not necessarily dedicated spaces for them to be seen and celebrated. And so that was something, and we have amazing book events out there that I love attending, but this specific focus I thought was truly important and truly powerful, especially where I live in Atlanta, where there's just a really big community of Black romance writers and Black readers, and they're very close. And we're just like, this is the perfect opportunity to really showcase, you know, the power of these love stories.
Yeah. When I first came across it, I think I came across it before I heard from Megan. I'm like, Megan, have you heard about this conference? She's like, yeah, I just got back from it.
And she's amazingly supportive. So thank you, Megan. Like, I don't think people understand how grateful I am, especially, you know, to supporters like you, Megan, to taking a chance on us in our first year and just sticking with us. It means the world.
Yeah. I'm interested in, gosh, what was that question I had? How have authors responded? Because, so you originally were thinking, oh yeah, maybe we'll get to 500, but how many authors did you have attend that first year? And then how many readers did you end up having? How many attendees did you have overall?
Yeah, so we projected that we only wanted about 500 attendees altogether. And we were going to have about 50 to 60 authors. But me, in my wild ways of, it's going to work out. I stressed my team out every day. I was like, okay, well, you know, 70 people are interested, 75, 80. So we ended up having 120 authors at the 2025 event. And we had a long wait list. And I was just like, whoa, like we just... Because at first we were getting so many no's and so many rejections from people, we didn't think that it would even turn out the way it did. And
because there were some events that kind of, you know, had some, let's just say some hiccups.
Yeah.
And then those hiccups got widely spread. So maybe some people were afraid to
commit. Yes, and that's totally understandable, because if you're going to, you know, catch a flight, book a hotel, you want to make sure that, you know, you're not getting scammed. And so, yeah, you know, 100%. We were so mindful of this. And so I think that it was helpful that we started off with this small idea, but we also secured a space beforehand that could accommodate more people if we were to go larger. And so while we projected 500 ticket sales, we ended up expanding, and it was a lot because of peer pressure, but we ended up actually
selling. Peer pressure coming from you or other people?
Everyone online, they were like, oh my God, please sell more tickets, please sell more tickets. Now my team, they are staunch knowers, but I am a staunch yeser. And so I eventually finally said yes. We ended up selling about 1,300 passes altogether. Wow. So it was large. So we were actually in the space too, where we were tight knit, but I think because the spirit was so high and the environment and atmosphere was so positive and loving, mm-hmm. that it really just kind of just really set the tone for everything.
Yeah. How did the authors do? I imagine was there a specific day that authors set up their tables and had readers come through?
Yeah, so we actually, it was a busy day. And this was another thing, like our team, we've been to so many book events, and we mm-hmm. said, I said, this is my motto. I would rather people be overwhelmed than underwhelmed. And so, you know, my purpose of putting everything simultaneously was because you're never bored. You always have something to do. So we had book signings at the same time of panels and sessions, and then we had a small break so everyone can get lunch. We were thankfully connected to like a mall, and people can go to the food court or they could go to the bar and grab something. So we just wanted to make sure that it felt like it was just excitement at all times. And you know, you had downtime in little spurts, but you were always busy and always focused on something else to do.
That's awesome. Now, did I read on your website that the authors sold out of their books?
Yes, so many authors sold out. And I think too, like one of the cool things were that so many authors said that this was the most that they had ever gotten in pre-orders. And when we used we used Vivinti, which was an amazing partner and sponsor to us, to capture a lot of those pre-orders. And the attendees were buying. They were buying from the authors, they were buying from the vendors. It was just Wow. And to partner with a lot of the locally owned bookstores and Black owned bookstores in the city, it was also an amazing experience to build those relationships, and they had a great time as well. So honestly, I was just so grateful.
It sounds like so much fun. Hey, Megan, I'm going to pass the ball to you. Did you attend as like a reader, or did you attend as an author, or both?
This year, the 2025, I attended as a sponsor. Okay. Which was really nice. I am fortunate enough to be able to go next year as one of the authors. I'm very, very excited about that. I'm at a conference now, so if I drop off or something, or you see something in the background, I'm in my hotel room. But it was so nice when I saw one that it was in Georgia. I live in Georgia, about 2 hours from Atlanta. And then it was Black focused, because I go to a lot of conferences. I'm maybe one of five in the room, and there's maybe one or two other people in the book signings. And so to have an event with all of these authors that don't typically get the recognition, wide pub recognition, I would say, because mm-hmm. they have a very loyal following. Let me just say, very loyal. Everybody was patient. And despite the number of people, my one thing is, how organized is the event? Yeah. It was organized. They ran a tight ship. That was my number one thing. That's what made me come back and say, okay, I think we need to look at this a little bit closer. The organization was top tier.
Awesome. Wow.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I mean, what do you think the event says about the growing visibility and demand, especially, that's what I'm hearing from both of you, the demand for diverse voices in romance publishing?
I'll let Megan go.
Okay. Well, at Drive to Digital, I'm the promotions coordinator. I always have my eye out because I see the lag. I am the lack. That's what made me start to my journey as being an author. I love the books. I always had to imagine myself. Well, if I write it, I don't have to imagine anything. I created the world. And then I was able to find other authors. And so I don't think it's so much so that there's a demand now. The demand has always been there. It's that people weren't listening. Mm-hmm. People didn't see the value in having diverse covers and having editors that knew how the different nuances of language that are within a certain community, we're widely ignored. Diverse voices overall are widely ignored. Even the ones that have traditional contracts in publishing, their books aren't put out on the front tables. And so it's a constant battle that we're fighting against. And it's rewarding when you can win.
Yeah. The size of this event blew my mind when I first heard about it. And then when I've heard about, you know, how year two is going so far, and we'll get to that because I want you to talk about that a little bit too, Lauren. It's amazing. It's like, what? Like, where did this come from? Oh my gosh. So I think it's fantastic. I have such a huge amount of respect for anybody who can organize and put on an event like this, because event planning, seriously, it's just
a lot of work.
As far away as possible, because there's just so many moving pieces. I don't know how you keep your wits about you. So can you tell us, or if you're comfortable, like, what were some of the biggest challenges you had to overcome in pulling off the first event? And then how did you overcome them just to make sure, like Megan said, like, you guys were a tight-knit group of people and everything just was smooth?
Yeah, it was really like constantly being on your toes and expecting like every type of risk and contingency, like put everything in place in case something went wrong. And a lot went wrong, even like throughout the event, but we were like,
that's to be expected though.
Yes, yes. And we were just like, put a smile on your face. You know, if you see the attendees and they're in a long line, offer them something, you know, speak to them, keep the vibes high, be positive. And we originally even had 100 volunteers and only 19 showed up that event weekend. And so it was, we're just a team. We were a team of 4 or 5 at the time. And so, you know, it was us, those 19 volunteers, my family, which my mother-in-law, she was amazing. She did all the swag bags. It was just, you know, we all worked together and we were very close knit, but, you know, making sure that like our team, I know that I can be a very demanding person, but I try not to put too much on my team, because at the end of the day, we all have other careers outside of this. We have families, we have responsibilities. And so, you know, just making sure that they're okay so they can continue going on, I think was important. And there was a lot to overcome from, you know, not having our on-site shipping guy show up the weekend of the event, to my husband going in and doing all the on-site shipping. He did every single thing, and he shipped everything off via USPS and was checking tracking numbers to make sure everyone got their stuff. So it was really, and on the back end, it was something crazy. We were like, we did this.
And you're doing it again?
Yes, exactly. And you know, we didn't know how it was going to go. We were just praying and really crossing our fingers up until the day of and the day and the ending day. And even after the event, to see the excitement on social media, I think that is when it really hit us that we did it. Like, we pulled it off. We did something that felt really special and sacred in a way, to have all of these beautiful people in one place and to create something so magical. And now the question is, how do we sustain this? Because now it feels a little bit unprecedented, to where we can't continue to grow big. We just want to sustain and maintain and nurture and make things better year over year. So this year, while we sold 2,000 tickets, I said, this is our peak. You know, we don't want to just keep getting big and stressing out ourselves and the authors. We really want to fine tune things. We're taking a look at what happened in 2025 and how we can make things better. So that's where we're at now. And we're excited. We have so much planned. I will say we're going big in a lot that we're doing this year and offering. But one of my main goals is I still want to curate an experience that feels culturally relevant, filled with beautiful Black literature, and just at the top of our game. So we have a lot going on, but at the same time, it's still rooted in our love for books.
Yeah. What are you most proud of? Like, if you can boil it down to one thing, what are you most proud of following year one? I mean, it sounds like a labor of love. Like, everybody really pulled in.
Yeah, I think I'm most proud of, I would say, the support. The support from the readers and attendees, but honestly, like, the support from my family and my team is really amazing. To see my children, they're like, oh, this is for the book event. I'm celebrating with the book event. Nice. And so, to see them excited about books, to see them excited about, like, you know, they're now calling their Scholastic Book Fair, like, oh, we have our book event at school. You know, it's just great to see my love being transferred to them is amazing. And then the support from my husband, he's really chill. And he's just like looking at numbers. He's like, all right, you know, he's like, I believe in you. And my mother-in-law, she just gives her all to everything and has helped me through every step of the way. So it's just the support.
That's fantastic. How are you measuring success going into year two? I mean, you've talked about some of this already, but, you know, aside from attendance numbers alone, like, how would you measure success for an event like this?
Yeah, like, you know, the marketing person in me, I'm always measuring KPIs. Like, I'm always looking at our goals and everything that we're trying to achieve. And so for me, from a real, like, analytical standpoint, I look at success and I always get on team. I'm like, how are our numbers looking online? How are we engaging with people? Are we growing at this type of rate? Like, these things are really important to me, because as time passes, more book events are popping up. And we've seen that. We briefly mentioned, like, some aren't going well, or there are so many that we're stretching readers thin. And so for me, I'm also looking at how much sponsorships are we getting in, how much, you know, we transition from an LLC to a nonprofit, so we can really focus on raising more money and fundraising and everything else. So these things are really important for me from a business standpoint of what success looks like, because we can't bleed ourselves dry. I put in a lot of my money for 2025 and my husband and I's income. And so it's solely, you know, sales and sponsorships and everything else that we're doing on top of doing our scholarship that we have for HBCU students. So it's just a lot. So making sure from the business side that we're making a profit and that we have money coming in. And then from the social side, our social media is our bread and butter, in a sense, because that's really our following. My social media manager is so awesome. She's very low-key, but, like, her creativity is off the charts. And so she always wants to make sure that when she's talking to everyone online, that it feels like they're talking to their sister or their friend or their cousin. And so I always look at success from those two ends, from the business standpoint, to make sure that we can last for a couple more years or longer. And then from the social standpoint, to make sure we're staying relevant and thoughtful and mindful of the cultural climate that we're in.
What a perfect answer, because you have to watch the business stuff.
Yeah.
But then you also have to ensure that you're maintaining that interaction with your community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned really quickly, as is your style, I have now learned that that you've sold over 2,000 tickets. So the next year's event isn't until May, but you sold out. Like, I'm curious to hear, like, when did you open, you know, registration?
It was like the Hunger Games, those tickets, trying to get them. It was a bloodbath.
It was kind of Megan just to tell it like it is. So.
Yes. And one of the things that, okay, I didn't mention this. One of the things that we definitely are going to work on next year is finding a registration system that can manage the demand. Because our first year, there was something happened where our registration system, the banking aspect or payment system, thought that it was a spam attack. So they were double charging people, holding their funds. People were trying to use different cards. That was like,
is that because there was just so much demand right off the bat?
Yes. And so this year there was a glitch in the system to where there was a field that wasn't appearing, and we had to get online with our ticket registrar, and they had to fix the issue. So we sold 2,000 tickets in 15 minutes. But we had 7,000 people online trying to get tickets. And so,
whoa, 7,000?
Yes. And you know what? I felt terrible, like the backlash from, you know, people were ready. They had their cards in hand, cards memorized, ready to get their tickets. And then the thing with the system happened, and then boom, they're like, tickets were in our card. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just didn't know what to do.
I'm a little intimidated. I'm just going to say for the record.
I didn't think it would be like that. Like, I think we all took off work that day, our team, or we blocked off our calendar to make sure that we can, like, be prepared for what would happen. And we didn't know that would happen, but we definitely didn't know we would have so many people trying to get tickets. And we only had one ticket drop, unlike last year where we had a couple, we had like three. But we said we can't manage all these separate instances of mayhem. And we don't want to stress people out anymore. So.
I mean, 7,000, and you, I mean, I'm a little blown away here, because I was thinking maybe the event sold out in like a couple of days, maybe a week, 15 minutes, 7,000 people who couldn't get through.
Terrible. I really felt terrible. I don't know how we can drip this out in the future, but we're going to figure out something.
That kind of led me. That's a perfect segue to my next question, which is, how do you, like, where do you see the conference going in the next 5 years? If you can all, you know, keep it going and maintain your sanity as you put it on an event of this size, you're thinking maybe multiple events, or just keep it annual or smaller? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, you know, we've been going in circles about this, of like where we see things going, and how big, or do we want to pull it back and make it more intimate? Do we want to do this once or twice a year? And I think it all boils down to, what did we want to do in the first place before, when we started planning out? We just wanted this space where we can all connect together. And because it's growing at an unprecedented rate that we can't control, we know that we need to slow down. We don't want to have a 10,000 person event. This isn't the Essence Fest. This isn't, you know, some huge, like, Burning Man type thing. The focus are the authors and narrators. They cannot handle, and they don't want to, quite frankly, to sign thousands and thousands and thousands of people, like carpal tunnel, hello. And we were actually getting fussed at. People were saying, well, should have picked a venue that holds thousands and thousands of people. At the end of the day, most readers are introverted. Most authors are introverted. Yep. You know, we want to protect them. We want to protect their peace, protect their space, especially in a world where readers now have so much access to them. And they're already online, where we were discussing this back in the day. You wouldn't know how an author looked. They weren't even at these book events, or book events weren't even around for them to show up. So we want to keep that at the top of our minds, of protecting all of the participants' peace and their physical safety. And I don't think that we're at a stage where we can host an event with thousands and thousands of people and still do that. So I think for the next 2 to 3 years, our focus is keeping it at our peak of those 2,000 attendees. I know it's going to be tough, but then, you know, maybe have a few small intimate gatherings, you know, like maybe like a retreat or something. Like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but we definitely don't want to continue expanding before we have the capacity or the ability to do so.
Yeah, that's a really solid point, because at some point you're going to lose the special atmosphere
once you
get past a certain point, and that intimacy. And it's crucial, because you also have to walk that tightrope of you know, all of us are probably a majority of us in this industry where we're just kind of introverted and we need that time to go back to our hotel rooms and hide out for a little while and just kind of re-energize. The three of us were at the NINC conference last week. And I talked to the other guys and all of us are just like, oh man, I'm still recovering. Cause it's just, it takes so much energy, so much social energy out of you.
Yeah.
Because you're on, you have to be on all the time.
Yes.
I wanted to bring up a quick comment here from Layla, who says there's clearly a demand for books where readers can see themselves represented in the stories they love.
That's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great comment, Layla. Thank you for that. All right. I'm going through my questions here. I answered that. You answered this one. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Have you seen the festival create opportunities for authors or emerging authors, whether through connections, exposures, or even readership that might not have existed otherwise? So tell us about that.
Absolutely. So, and this, I just found this out a few weeks ago, and I actually just talked to her last night, to where an author, she sent me a note on Instagram, a video or an audio note. And she was like, hey, she's like, I didn't know if you were aware, but I just want to let you know that I met this agent at BRDF and I'm now signed to her. And, you know, she's just like being very like encouraging and letting me know like, hey, this event was something special. And it created opportunities. And so like, it meant so much to me that she had said that and to know that, you know, she was able to make this connection. But that also happened with so many other authors, to where, you know, we partnered with Black Odyssey Media, to where they were allowing scripts to be submitted, manuscripts to be submitted to them for consideration if you were one of the attending authors. Honey Blossom Press, they did pitch sessions and working with authors. So making sure that this was not just a reader focused event, that there were opportunities and pathways for authors to possibly, you know, meet industry executives or have more opportunity was really important to us. And we're doing that again for 2026. So hearing these things, and we had some authors that came from like the Caribbean or like from overseas, they were so excited because they were like, whoa, people are now like reading more of our stories and they're on stage with other authors and they're talking about their books. So this was very important to us to make sure that it's not just the big, well-known people that are there getting opportunities or being highlighted, that is really everyone that has these opportunities available.
I love it. And it's not just indie focused. You've got people there from the industry, from the traditional side, agents, editors, and you're also teaching authors who are on their way up.
Absolutely. We had some really great writing workshops for aspiring authors and new authors. We had some marketing and PR workshops. So it's really cool to see authors in there, like new, aspiring, but then also established. And, you know, everything, you can always grow and improve what you do and what you love. And so it was really cool to have that learning and development aspect incorporated.
Yeah, that's really cool. On a personal level, what has organizing this festival sort of meant to you or taught you about the romance community, about the Black community, or about yourself?
Ooh, I would say it's taught me so much that we support those who support us. And I think that for so long that support was lacking and that visibility. And from the onset, although we had those no's, the yeses were so much louder and people got on board, but they didn't just get on board. It really felt like they were a part of BRBF. So we really don't, this isn't like a one person show, a four people show, five people show. It really is an entire community of people coming together to make something beautiful happen. And it taught me a lot. It taught me to pace myself because I'm very fast moving. But I also am very structured, and I think that helped a lot because in my team, during our team meetings, I'm pulling up spreadsheets and I'm going from tab to tab, like, okay, did we focus on this? Did we focus on that? And so just making sure that I can slow myself down so my team can take everything in and we can all be in alignment at all times. So that was great. And I incorporate that in really every day of my professional life too. And also from a personal standpoint is to give myself a little bit more grace You know, from planning the event to working, and I'll be like, okay, when I get off work, I'm getting home after Atlanta traffic, I'm getting home at 6 p.m. I sat down like 3 hours to work on the event. I'm making sure that the kids are taking their baths and I'm saying my I love yous and cuddles and all that other stuff. So really structuring my life so I can fit some time in so I can breathe. That has been like the hardest thing for me.
It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, on Friday nights, I'm done. Let me tell you, I'm just like, it's over. I can't think.
Absolutely. Like, I have to watch a movie. Like, that's like my me time or like time with my husband. We're like, what can we watch on TV? Like, let's just decompress from the week of worrying about every single thing and let's just do something that has nothing to do with productivity.
Yeah, in my case, my daughter was like, well, can we just watch a movie about like unicorns and princesses? I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. Just as long as I can let my brain just decompress for a bit. A quick comment from Devin, who says, I can't wait to make it to the next event. Are there other genres besides romance at the convention?
Yeah, so we always, you know, we call it a romance focus, but we have so many different genres, right? Like, we have fantasy. We have some amazing, we have Gabby Burton, we have Annalise Sobrano, we have so many amazing fantasy writers, but as long as you have elements of romance, then come on down. Like, you know, we have a lot of amazing women's fiction authors. We also have it by track to where you have paranormal focus, you have YA, you have a lot of different things that people focus on. But then you still have that swoon worthy or that spicy or however levels you want to go. So we definitely don't separate that. And at the end of the day, our focus is really amplifying Black voices. And so we are like, come in, you know, whether you want to come as an author or as an attendee or whatever it may be, we want to make sure that you feel loved and celebrated and seen in every aspect.
I love it. Megan, as a former attendee, what are you looking most forward to next year?
I am looking forward to, first being able to be there with my little table and all my little things as an author. It was, like I said, the energy was very high. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to what happens like in the hallways. Yeah. I think that's where I had the most fun, just like connecting with people, like as you cross paths and what book did you get or what line is this for. That was very exciting, and I would love to be able to, like Lauren said, have more connections with authors directly. Now I'm putting on my promo hat because I see so much lack in the education of what do we do differently as it comes to diverse books versus what the industry is trying to push.
I love that.
And there's nobody talking about the differences in tags and the differences in the keywords and whether or not it's going to show up over here or over there. And so being able to also help educate so that we can help uplift more of these books in the publishing industry. I'm just looking forward to everything, honestly. I'm very excited.
I love that. I think that's a good like workshop too. Just saying, might need to send me an email.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Yeah, so many people don't know about that kind of stuff. Well, we'll talk about that offline. that could be a whole other podcast.
Okay, let's find out. And I do this all the time. But then someone told me about one of my books, and they were like, did you think your book was this on here? And I was like, it's ranked for what? Like, what is it about? Like, that is something like, I think that there, again, lots of education needed. So. Yeah.
Did you mention how many authors that you've got signed up for this for May 2026?
We have 220 authors. Yes, 220 authors that we were able to accept, but about 600 authors actually applied. I think it was like 589. We didn't even know there were this many authors. And, you know, I think one of our blueprints is what one of the reasons why I think what made BF so successful is that we do open signups. And we're seeing a lot more events do that, but we do open signups and we don't do author fees. When I presented that concept to the team. They were like, what? I said, we're just going to trust that we'll be okay. And so I think that just given the amount of money and time, not just for readers, but authors, it costs a lot of money. You know, making sure they buy their books, hoping that their books get bought and they can make a profit off of it, booking the hotels, all of these things. And so we know that it doesn't alleviate, the full amount of what they have to put into going to events, but at least they don't have to worry about that. And so that's one of the things about BRBF that I think does stand out from a lot of other events as well.
Okay. Lauren, do you have a favorite memory or story from last year's event that really sticks with you?
Yes. So I think my grandparents being there, that meant so much to me. My grandfather, he was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and they told him that he had 2 to 3 months to live, and he's been kicking ever since. Like, he and my grandma, she was she's a retired nurse, so she's been taking care of him. And she was like, we're not going to go through treatment. I don't recommend anything for anyone. That's just your choice. But my grandma was like, we're just going to have fun. And so they had been traveling. They went to Vegas. My husband and I actually hung out with them in Vegas. They went to New York, Miami, a cruise, everywhere. And so they called me and said, we're coming to your book event. And I was like, you didn't know that about book event around all these people? And he had a blast. And he was hanging out with my kids. He was buying books. And so I think seeing him there, and it just brought me so much joy. He got to meet so many different people. So that was my number one favorite moment. And then it was another moment that really hit hard for me was at the end. Our team and I, we just did a big group hug and we started crying. We did a big exhale and just started crying. And I think it was because we were holding our breaths the entire for a year, just hoping that it turned out the way that we envisioned it. And it did.
Wow. That's what a perfect answer. What do you hope readers and writers take away from attending Black Romance Book Fest?
Although there's so much to do and that you're going to be exhausted, in a interesting way, we hope that they come out of it energized. And that's energized to read more, energized to write more, empowered to continue putting in work, celebrating these stories. I think that's our goal, is to root for these authors, root for the narrators, to have them show up was just amazing. I think that's our goal, is to just really feel something. It's not just something you go to. It really makes an impact.
That's beautiful. Wow. This is another one of those episodes where I'm like, oh, I hope I have enough questions here to take care of the time. And I look at the clock and it's like, you're at time. So, wow, I want to go.
Yes, we love to have you there. It really is an experience. And even outside the books, we do a lot. We have different, self-care is big, and we wanted to incorporate that, especially because the attendees and participants are primarily Black women. And, there's just been a high unemployment rate in the past year for Black women. There's just been a lot of stress, a lot of what we feel, it's just a lot. And so we wanted to incorporate self-care. So we have candle making. We have massages for attendees. We have, fragrance making. And then we have even a concert at night. And there's just a lot to do. You can never be bored. And we just want to just keep all the love flowing 24 hours each day.
That's super important because everybody thinks that authors are just there's these amazing people who just sit behind their desks all day and just crank out these books. But they don't know that. We're sitting back here nothing's coming and I'm stressed. I got to feed the kids and I'm late to work and all this other stuff. So that's so important. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Well, we got to land this plane now, you guys. Is there any little last bit of, wisdom or anything you want to drop here, Lauren, to authors or readers about the show, about life, about writing, about reading, about your community that you... you want to make sure that they understand.
Yeah, I would just say, keep reading, because what seemed to be something so natural and given for us to just read our books are constantly being attacked. Like our the things that you know, knowledge and fun, like what we're interested in, like people are going against that. And they're going against it because they understand that reading is powerful. And the more that we read, no matter what genre, the more knowledge and the more sense of urgency that you get. So, you know, keep reading, keep writing. I am queen of self-defeating thoughts at times. However, pushing through and continuing writing has helped me grow and helped me mature and helped me love myself even more. So I hope that every writer just keeps going at it and every reader keeps reading.
Perfect. Well, thank you for being here with us today, Lauren. Sad to say it's time to like say goodbye. I'm going to just read through a few quick messages here for our viewers out there. Y'all, I want to say thank you for showing up with us week in and week out. And if this is your first time viewing or listening to Self-Publishing Insiders, thank you for being here. If you could do us a favor, like, share, comment, subscribe to this episode. We really appreciate it because it helps us expand our readership out there, our viewership, and it helps us get fantastic guests like Lauren to come and visit us. You can also see who's coming up next and what our next topic would be by bookmarking dddlive.com. And finally, for those of you who are investigating self-publishing, maybe just for the first time ever, you can sign up for a free account at draft2digital.com. Megan, thank you for joining too. Lauren, we so appreciate your time. If you guys want to hang out backstage for a second, I'm going to play our outro commercial here for DDD Print, and I'll see you backstage. Everybody, thanks again for your time this week, and we hope to see you here again next week at the same time. See you, everybody.
Thank you. Ebooks are great, but there's just something about having your words in print. Something you can hold in your hands, put on a shelf, sign for a reader. That's why we created DDD Print, a print-on-demand service that was built for you. We have free, beautiful templates to give your book a pro look, and we can even convert your ebook cover into a full wraparound cover for print. So many options for you and your books. And you can get started right now at draft2digital.com. That's it for this week's Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your will-be author friends. And start, build, and grow your own self-publishing career right now at draft2digital.com.